Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
We are celebrating Advent, and Advent means coming. So that's what Christmas is. It's the first Advent. It's the coming of Christ. And so that's what Christmas is all about. We're celebrating Advent in the Christmas season. But really, for believers, people who know God and have a relationship with Him, we're actually celebrating the second coming of the Lord. We celebrate the first coming, and now there's the second coming of the Lord. And that's the time we're in now. That's the age we're in right now. We're waiting on Christ to return. God's people are waiting for Jesus to come back. You see, that's the way it is. He was born from a virgin, and then He walked here for 33 years and did the will of God, and then He ascended into hell. He went to hell, took the keys from the enemy, and then went back to heaven, and now He's coming back again. And that's the Advent. The second coming is what we're waiting on. So we're going to talk about the second coming today, but today we're going to talk about a little bit about the first coming, and we got the Gradles coming up, Sean and Courtney and their family, and they're coming up, and they're going to share with us the Advent. Every year we have people we pick out that we see growing and maturing, and we see some development, and we see that in their life and their family, and that's why we chose them to do the Advent candle. So we're glad they're with us this morning, all right? Come on up.
So this is Julian. He's one of our six, and he's going to be reading the scripture for the day.
Now in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, a descendant of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, the angel said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly perplexed at what he said, and kept carefully considering what kind of greeting this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Listen carefully. You will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and eminent, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin and have no intimacy with any man?" Then the angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And listen, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren and now in her sixth month. For with God nothing is or even shall be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. May it be done to me according to the word." And the angel left her.
So like Pastor Fred said, my name is Courtney and this is my husband, Sean. Most of you guys know me. I came to Russell Road once upon a time. We were here for about 5 years. Oh, Julian, you forgot the candle. Yep. Thanks, Pastor Fred. He's got that. When Julian and Elin were little, and then Adeline, who's now 7, almost 8, she was born while we were attending. And That, you know, it was a good 5 years. You know, I never thought that we would leave Russell Road, nor did I think that I would head down the path of divorce, and that's what happened. And through that, I decided that it was, you know, I came back from a mission trip, and I was just feeling really shameful, and just all of the heaviness of that just took over, and I was like, well, let's just, you know, I felt like the Lord was like, give yourself a break, you know, or so I thought. And so we left, and we went to a different church for about 5 years. And then last year on Christmas Eve, we came back because our old church didn't have a Christmas Eve service, and we were greeted with smiling faces of all of you and my family, my mom, my sister, my aunt, everybody started to attend again as well. And my husband fell in love with the church, and we just started visiting, so on and so forth. But if I can be honest, this week's been a tough week. I didn't even know. I was like reflecting on the past year and the ups and downs, but then, you know, how great it was. But then this week was tough. Like, I was really struggling with Sean and a lot of things that had been going on with our home and our kids and just everything. And I was just like, I don't think I want to do this. If I get up in front of the church and I talk, like, why me? Why us? Like, this is silly. I have nothing to offer. I was just feeling like angry and worthless and just really negative. And I felt like I didn't want to lie to everybody, you know. So I called Donita after I spoke with my sister, and she was like, you need to call Donita and you need to let her know what's going on. And so I wrestled with that for a couple days, and I did. And the response I got wasn't the one I was expecting, but it was more of like, you know, I get it, there's a lot of pressure, you guys are busy. And I was like, no, that's not it. You know, that's not it. I need encouragement, because right now I'm struggling. I don't even like him. I really am just angry and just frustrated with everything. And so we talked, and I cried, and it was this amazing moment where she's just like, Courtney, it's not about right now. It's about everything. You know, give yourself grace and look over this past year of what your families came through, you know, not just this year, but all of it, you know, like this story of, you know, rebirth and just God's continuous mercy and his grace and continuing to love you and accept you for who you are. And, you know, I was able to have a really good conversation with Sean, and, you know, we just did some dissecting, and you just realize that the Lord's good, and we don't have to be perfect, and he meets us where we are. He encourages us. He loves us. He picks us up when we're feeling down, and we don't have to always feel great, because life's hard. And so he was, you know, I was just able to be encouraged through that, and just to have my eyes cleared again to say, you know what, I don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be perfect, the perfect parents, the perfect, you know, anything. But the Lord is perfect. And if we rely on him and continue to run to him, all is well. And so then I was just able to really just take a deep breath and say, you know what? You know, has been a good year. And this year has been a year of growth. And I need to stop expecting, you know, what's next, and stop giving myself, like, doubting what's been going on, and rest in that the Lord has been transforming us. And I think that Sean has a few things that he wants to share too, because this week was also pretty powerful for him as well. But it's just encouraging to know that we do have the Lord to fall on, and each and every one of you. So just thanks for that.
Yeah, she talks a lot more than I do, so just so you guys know. But yeah, as much she said, you know, I know. It was a tough week, you know, for both of us. And as much as she didn't like me, I liked myself a lot less. I'll be honest about that. I was going through some things internally, and I didn't know how to process them, how to go through them. And I just kind of took it upon myself just to deal with those things. And we all know that that's not how you're supposed to do things. You know, when you take things on yourself, you just end up in a lot worse places than you started. So, you know, and it just, it hit ahead, and I just had to hit my knees. And I just had to give it up to the Lord, and I just had to pray, and I had to reach out to my brothers in my group, and to my brother-in-law Shamar. And I just, you know, I wasn't sure what the response would be, because, you know, I spent my whole life thinking, you know, I'm a man, I'm tough, I'm strong, I keep things to myself. And that's what the world tells us, and, you know, that's not how we should live. You know, the world tells us the wrong things, and we can't do it alone. If we could, that's why we have Jesus. You know, we give it to him, and I was just surprised by the response that I got. You know, it was just love, encouragement, prayer. You know, all my brothers tell me, you know, we've been there. We've all been there, and we had to give it to him just like you have to give it to him, and we can just come together as brothers and, you know, pray to him. And, you know, that's what I did, and things turned around, you know. Yeah. You know, I do have to give it to him every day, just like we all do, you know. And God is good, you know.
That's good stuff right there. Thank you, Sean and Courtney. It is a challenge, isn't it? Anybody had a busy week this week? Anybody going through anything? We all do, right? So that's the thing. We just got to learn how to respond. And that's trials and struggles are time for development. You know, my schedule, I was, a lot of stuff came up this week. And I noticed when I get a lot going on and phone calls and stuff, I called my grandson. I told him, I said, you know what? I want to meet you at wine. I'm going to pick you up, and we're going to go to Winans, and we'll sit back in the back room and play chess. Because we played chess when we went on our trip this year to Smoky Mountains. I absolutely love sitting there playing chess with him. We just talked, and it's like everything goes away, you know what I mean? There's something about connecting with your grandkids. If you have children, and there's something about grandkids, right? I'm not saying you love them more, but maybe you do. But grandchildren are something. I don't know what it is. They're powerful. But I sat there with him, and man, I enjoyed every minute of it. Then we went and we had lunch, and we got Chick-fil-A, and we go. When I ride my motorcycle, there's this big tree by Myers. I'll go in the parking lot. And I go sit under that tree, but we parked the car by the tree, and we had Chick-fil-A and just talked about everything. Man, I could feel God's presence. This is how it is. And so then he had to go to tennis, so we took him to tennis in Tip City, and at 1 o'clock, and so he said, "Papa, are you going to watch me?" I said, "Yeah, I'm going to watch you for a little bit," but his dad came to pick him up and take him back home so I could just go on, you know, because I'd had him since 9 o'clock that morning. So his dad came, and his dad said to me, he says, "Dad," he goes, "he was the first one up this morning." He said, "I can't wait till Papaw gets here." I'm going to tell you what, that right there does something for your soul. You know what I'm saying? And powerful. Stay in touch with your children. I'm telling you. You know what? As parents, you're responsible for those children. To raise them in the fear and admiration of the Lord. That's your deal. And the church. In the church. So, all we talked about everything, him and I. And I know God is doing something. And I'm going to tell you something. It'll be that way in your life. But you've got to be intentional about it. So we're going to play some more chess. So if I'm not here on the weekend, you can probably say, well, he's probably playing chess with Finley this weekend. But, all right, let's move on. Let's go to our foundational scripture, Tim, and then we're going to read the vision. Didn't the kids do great this morning? That was awesome. Ken York, that was good. You was up there leading them, Ken. That was nice. Well, I saw your kids looking at you. Ken York back there, big old tall guy back there. That's a man for you right there, leading children, helping children singing with them and stuff. Don't you like that? Amen. That's what men do. That's what a real man does. Are you hearing me? Guess what he did? How big was that buck you shot this year? He shot a buck, 18-point buck. I mean, this thing is big. And if any of you deer hunters, you know that's big. So he got 18-pointer. Teaches children. You better watch him, man. He got something for you. Wasn't that good, those children up here? That's important. I don't care what you say. If you don't teach your children, it's going to show up later in life. You better be teaching them now. That's all I'm saying. And that's your responsibility. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures till the end shall be saved." Go back to the first verse there, if you would. Okay. Now, look what he says here. In the middle, he says, tell us when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming?" That's what Advent means, coming. So the second coming, he's coming back. All right? So that's where the period we're at right now. And so God is preparing the church for the second coming. And this is what we need to be doing as the people of God, is walking in his will and expressing him on our jobs, in our schools, in our family, in our neighborhood, in our church. We want to represent Christ. You see that? So, give me verse 8 real quick. "And all these are the beginning of sorrows." This word sorrows, it means birth pains. Birth pains. What's he talking about there? He's talking about you and I are going to give birth to something that's going to bring life to other people. See that? God's word is a seed, and it's planted in you, and it grows. Conception takes place, and it grows, and it gives birth to a new area in your life. You see that? God is trying to mature you and develop you in his love. His love is not our love. His love is predicated on his love, not our love. And this is what we have to grow and understand. It says in Isaiah 53 that Jesus bore all our griefs and carried all our sorrows. So when you're sorrowful, you're doing something outside of the will of God. Because Jesus already carried it. When you're in a difficult place and you've got your head down and you're discouraged and defeated, You're not. God wants you to get your head up, keep talking to Him, and He's bringing you a solution. He's bringing you an answer so you can help somebody else. You see that? That's why He says, many will be offended. You can't. There's no room to take offense today. You can't get hurt by people or circumstances or situations. There's no place to being hurt, getting offended. Does this make sense? So the sorrows are something God wants to bring birth in your life for your children, for your grandchildren, for your spouse, for the people you work with, people in the church. He's trying to birth something in you that's going to help other people. Are you catching that? And that's what the difficulty is. That's what the trial is. That's where life is difficult. God teaches you and develops you through difficult, through crisis and through challenges and difficult times. You count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Your faith is going to be tested. All of our faith is going to be tested. And He wants to produce patience. That's the first attribute of His love. God's love is greater than our love. And this is what we got to understand. Remember, there's five loves in the Bible. Eros love is sexual love between a man and a woman. Philia love is you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. That comes from Philadelphia, that word, philio. Now, and then there's storge love. That's the love of a mother for her children. That's where you get the stork in the baby. Storge. It comes from that. Now, and then fourth is thermos. That's passionate love. That's love. That's the word thermos is, keeps things warm or keeps things cold. So it's passion. And so those four loves aren't the agape love. The love of God is what we're trying to grow in and mature in. That's the agape love. Unconditional love. Supernatural love. Supernatural love. This love is above the natural. It's not your nature to love this way. That's why it has to be developed. Your nature is to give me what I give you and we'll get back. That's your nature. But God says, you're going to have to go up here to get my love. It's supernatural. It's above the natural. See, it's natural to want to get people back or want to, you see that? But God's love is supernatural. It's above the natural. His love is predicated on Him. And this is what He's developing in His people. Because we're in the second coming. And he, Jesus said that they will know you're my disciples by the way you love one another. So we're to demonstrate this love now. Right now, we're to be demonstrating. We're to be going through things. And see, if we have a relationship with Jesus, we'll be able to go through things. This love is going to be developed through difficulty. It's not an easy thing. He says many are going to be offended. What happens when you get offended? That means that the word offense means the place on a trap where the bait is placed. Remember, I taught you this last week. When you get hurt by somebody and somebody hurts you, it's not the person. Well, that doesn't even make sense. Remember, this is supernatural love he's developing. It's above the natural. When you get hurt by somebody, that's the enemy using that to get you hurt and get your attention and focus on yourself. Did you hear me? When you get hurt by somebody, abuse, child abuse, verbal abuse, sexual abuse, anything by another person, and you're offended, your concentrated affections are now on you and not on God and other people. And that's not God's will. See, that's the devil, and he will use people to hurt you to get your affections on yourself. So you become selfish, self-centered. You see this? But when you have the love of God flowing, you cannot hold a grudge. You can't have hatred and unforgiveness in your heart and love the way God loves. You see this? And that's what God does. He shows you, you have to forgive people. When? Now. Right now. If you hold unforgiveness in your heart, that blocks the blessings from coming in your life. Unforgiveness is the number one blessing blocker. It will keep you from receiving from God, and you'll be miserable. And the person who hurt you is just going on like it never happened. You see that? You have to understand that that's a trap orchestrated by the enemy, and we got to get this, folks. And this is the age we're in right now. All those are signs, right? Those are signs. He says many are going to be offended. They're going to hate one another and betray. Betrayal, when somebody betrays you, you have to learn how to respond. Love them and pray for them. See, that's what Jesus did. Remember? He was betrayed by Judas. And he looked at Judas before he took the communion. He says, go ahead and do what you got to do, but do it quickly. In other words, betray him quickly. You know why he said that? He said it in John chapter 13. You can look at it later. You know why he said that? You're not going to move me away from my mission and my vision for the church, for the people of God. You see that? That could have moved him away from the mission, and we all, none of us would have the chance to be saved. But he stayed on course, and he didn't allow an offense. He didn't allow a betrayal. He didn't allow anything to move him away from his calling here on earth. And that's the way we're supposed to be. We don't allow anything to move us away for God's purpose and God's reason for our being here to fulfill his will. Are you catching this? And now the love of God will protect you. See, that's what happens. When you get direction from God, you get his protection. If you don't get his direction, you forfeit his protection. You see that? If you're trying to do it on your own, you'll always forfeit the protection. Then you'll start taking the beating. That's why you feel wore out. That's why you feel depleted all the time. You're trying to do it in your own strength. But when you trust God, and you give it to him, and you keep getting direction from him, now he's protecting you. And he's giving you energy and power in life to do his will. Because that's why we're here, to do his will. Your faith is not to give you what you want. Your faith is to give you what he wants. You see that? That's what your faith is for. And then it says in Galatians 5:6, faith works through love, agape, supernatural love. Your faith can only work through his love. You see, that's why you got to keep growing in the faith. If you don't grow in the faith, you'll never grow in his love. If you say, well, I don't need to go to church all... Well, you do need to be in church where the Bible's being taught. You need to be in church. You need to grow in the faith. You see this? When you grow, why do you need to grow? Because God wants to introduce you to a you haven't met yet. He's trying to show you a person about you. He's trying to show you something about you that you haven't even discovered about you. He's trying to show you a more loving you. He's trying to show you a more secure you, a more stable you, a kinder you, a more giving you, a more patient you. Oh, this is good stuff right here. This is what he's doing. And that's where a trial comes for.
Truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
I've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Say.